Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Morning.
I know. It's weird. Lucy's
Again, we're doing
gone.
odd times today.
That's because we're going to see Helmet today. And that's
True.
super cool. And it's raining and the show's inside, so that's fine. So
Yeah, I was gonna
that's good.
say I was outside driving. I'm like, oh, thank God the
Yeah.
concert's inside.
Yeah, super excited that it's inside. I was very, very pumped about that. But yeah, we're early again. But not only that, I mean, I have a million things I gotta do today. Because we're gonna be
Apparently.
at WV PopCon this weekend,
Yes,
and
sir.
we ended up with an extra booth, so I have to go get more shit. Yay. Which means you can come and visit us in our ginormous booth all weekend. Well, for Saturday and Sunday this
Saturday,
weekend,
yeah.
and you can visit our boss Todd at Harrisburg Saturday and Sunday at the Harrisburg Con. It's going to be a lot of fun both ways. I just watched this awesome video of Tim Hardy's brother Dave, who writes the cryptid book. Apparently, there's another guy that does a lot of cryptid stuff going to be at the WV PopCon, and they're having like a WrestleMania style fight. And Dave did this like video, like where he did the whole Macho Man cream to the crop thing. Like
Oh, good Lord.
it was really funny. If you get a minute, you should go and watch it. Just look up David J. Hardy on Facebook. It was on there. It was pretty funny to watch.
Okay. I will have to. I'm a sucker for a good Macho Man impersonation.
Oh yeah, it was good. He had his daughter like be Jean and like hold the little mic and stuff. It was really, and he dressed up. She didn't, but he dressed up. It was really cute. I thought it was funny.
There you
But yeah. Other than that, I mean,
Actually,
like,
there's been a lot of news this week. Like some awesome, some not so awesome. It's we talk about celebrity deaths, and the one that pretty much shocked everybody was the Hayden.
Panieri, yeah.
And it's. I don't think I need to explain. If you don't know who she is, you obviously haven't paid attention to pop culture in 20 years,
Yep.
because she's been around that long. She's actually been around a little bit longer than that, because she's been in
Yeah.
acting since she was a baby, literally.
Yeah, she was on soap operas when she was like 7, so
And everybody knows her, her iconic scenes with Denzel Washington in Remember the Titans. That was her big breakthrough. And then, everybody remembers her for being the cheerleader in the
Yep.
Heroes.
See, now we no longer can save the world because we can no longer save the cheerleaders.
Cheerleader, yeah.
So.
I blame Cypher that I let that pass her.
Uncle Cypher, fuck.
Cypher, yeah.
Yeah, and then, she was also in Nashville for a long
Yes.
time. That show was really, I only watched a little bit of it because, country music's not really my thing,
Yeah.
but she did all of her own singing on that show, which is
Yeah.
crazy. So,
Yeah. And then it's a lot of details are coming out about things like her issues, like all childhood actors seem to go through. Like
well, they're
it.
only coming to the forefront of people who didn't know she released a book like 2 years ago about it. But
Yeah.
yeah.
Well,
But
it I
but they haven't confirmed any reason for death. It's just a no foul play. So,
No, they're
but her
we'll
brother
find
a
out.
year and a half ago died of a heart aneurysm, or a aortic aneurysm near his heart a couple years ago. So I'm guessing it's going to be something similar. Probably due to a lot of her like she had
Extracurricular activities.
well she you know she was a recovering alcoholic and a recovering substance abuser, so
Yes.
I think that probably just added toward
Yes. That's never good for your heart, period. Like,
exactly, that's what I meant. Like,
yeah.
it's not, it's just it's making it a little it probably did not help it. It probably added to the
Yeah.
the problem. So.
But there's also it's speculation across the board because apparently an ex-boyfriend was the last person to see her, stuff like that. We're not going to get into that stuff because we don't know everything. It's
Right, exactly.
just complete rumors across the board.
And it's just a bummer.
It's sad because she was only 36, which that hits the gut hard. And
She
it,
would turn 37 tomorrow. Yeah.
oof. Okay, I didn't even know her birthday was that close, but ugh.
Yeah. I was
But
like, oh
on,
man. So.
you know, it sucks. It's horrible. Like I've been seeing it all week. Like everybody that we, you know, talk to in our pop culture professional and everybody we know, there's a lot of people I know personally that loved her, like actress. You know,
Yeah.
as a person, you know, there's like you said, there was nothing really bad said about her other than she did have addiction issues. Again, that is something that seems to be a trait for Hollywood kids. Not all of them, but I would say a good 90% of them have some sort of trauma or a drug issue of one way or another. But the more we find out about that stuff, that is, you know, Epstein level kind of stuff going on. But you know, it's sad. Hearts go out to what her dad.
Dinner mom.
Well, her mom was kind of part of the
But
reason she
well,
was.
his stepmom, really. Like,
Stepmother, yeah.
yeah.
Bio mom, not so much from what I've heard.
Correct, yeah.
Her kid is what I really feel hard for. He was, they're only 11, and that hurts. That hurts hard. It hurts you're losing your mother at any age. You know, it's as you and me, you know, we've lost our mothers in recent years. I'm not going to say it was like
Well,
totally
I
late
mean,
there, but
mine was like in my mid-20s. I was like 24, 25, 25.
yeah. I
So
lost
yeah.
mine. What was that? I think I was 39 or 40. So I was lucky to have my mother in my life as long as I did, but it still hurts. You know, there's still things that trigger,
Yeah.
you know, stuff like that. So it's heart go out to that. Everybody there involved in her personal life, and to all her fans, you know, we feel you. You know, I started rewatching Heroes just because, like, you know,
Right. I
but
thought that was
on
interesting because, like, Heroes had just popped up on, like, every single streaming service for the
oh
first time in a long time.
yeah, talk about, you know, the vultures coming out to play there. I noticed the EB
No,
Hunters
no, no,
helping
no.
out, so.
No. They came, it hit the streaming services like the beginning of the month. So
Oh,
this was
okay.
like,
So it was
yeah.
like before.
So it
Okay.
just happened to be weird,
Weird timing,
timing. Yeah.
yeah. But I do notice, you know, what happens when every celebrity come like passes away, their memorabilia is suddenly gets put online. And if you're one of those people who do that, shame on you. At least wait 2 weeks. I mean, it is so gross, but. You know, we dealt with that with Stan Lee. We dealt with that with a lot of the guys that, you know, wrote books when they pass away. You know, I'm part of a lot of Facebook groups that are like, if you sell any of these books, like signatures or whatever, after this person has passed, they're like, you have 2 week grace. After 2 weeks, yeah, post as much as their stuff you want to list. But if you do that before the 2 weeks, we are kicking you off the group and you are banned. And I think that.
Listen, so I was talking with John Davis the other day at Cranberry, and he was like, "Hey, did you look at the thank yous, the thank you page in the Death Throes trade?" And I said, "No." So I walked over, grabbed it, and I'm listed in there. So I am now in a comic book. I have a comic book credit,
Nice.
in the thank you page. So when I die, you better fucking put that book right up on eBay right away. That's all I'm saying.
I'll put that right beside my I'll
Day
put
one.
I'll put that beside my Todd McDevitt Wonder Woman issue.
Right? Yeah. The day Todd dies, we're putting that Wonder Woman issue up at like not even before the day's end. It's gonna be up on eBay. So maybe we'll finally get that $1,000 for it that we keep trying to get. So
Yeah, I see that every time. But on the positive stuff of pop culture going on, so much news coming out. Because was it D20 came out, D23, whatever you want
D23.
to call it. And what we got the Vision Quest reveals, like trailer and stuff, which wow, that I was not expecting that. I'm kind of curious about that. James Spader doing his role as Ultron. I'm down for that. Although I have to say, gnarly beard on him, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
Gnarly beard.
I was not expecting that. I was like,
No,
whoa.
it's we've only known him like either with like sh fully shaven or just have that awesome coif he had in his early era. Never really a beard person, but that it caught me off guard. But that looks kind of cool. We got the X-Men cast announcement, which looked at a little bit of each actor, minus the two that we kind of already familiar with. We knew who Jean Grey was going to be because of Spider-Man. We knew who Mr. Sinister was because the rumor mill about him being Mr. Sinister was out there in the ether well
Yeah,
before
Adam
they
Driver,
announced. Which is fine. I could see him being an excellent Mr. Sinister. But everybody else was a very unknown to me, so I had to look into a little bit of each one.
Oh no, the girl playing Rogue, I've seen in a lot of stuff. Like she was in
Well, she was a
Superman
screamo
and
though.
Lois. Well, she was in Superman and Lois for 4 seasons. She played Lana Lang's daughter, and she's in something else too that I saw that I was like, oh yeah, that is her. I forget, but
She did
she's a
that horror
great
mold.
actress.
Yeah, she did a horror flick, and she was a
She's really, really good. Like she was a shining star on that CW show. Like I was just like, damn, this girl is really good as an actress. And now she's gonna be Rogue, so
not
it's gonna
bad for
be.
somebody who used to just twitch in her bedroom playing video games, because that's where she started. The kid who's going to play Cyclops, I vaguely recognized him, and then
Oh, he was in Heartthrob.
So
So that was
he was another
weird.
child actor because he was a little kid when he first started. I was like, okay, I recall him seeing some of his stuff. He seems like he looks like a young Cyclops, so I'm kind of down with that. The one that caught me off guard was the girl that they got to play Storm, who's not done any major acting. She is Broadway strictly. That's all she's known for is Broadway. She hasn't done
I don't know
anything.
that that's true.
No, that she,
I think
from
she did
what
like she didn't I don't think she did anything super huge, but she definitely did
I know
something.
she's a huge Broadway star. Like, if
Yeah,
you're
she's
into
definitely
Broadway, you know she's good.
all of these guys did a lot of Broadway.
So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how that goes.
Maya Boyd is her name.
And she
Let's see.
they say she has an awesome singing voice. I saw clips of her performances.
Please God, let us get X-Men the musical. That'd just
They
be
might do an
awesome.
episode like that. You don't know. They might do an episode like
Right?
that. Maybe at
Yeah,
the very end.
she did two horror shorts. That's all she did. So.
So she virtually unknown in the world of Hollywood, put it that way. But hey, I'm looking forward to her. I'm going to say this without sounding like being racist. She looks like she's going to fit the role. From what I heard, her acting chops are excellent. So let's see how
Why
she
didn't
goes.
she
She
just
can't be
has
worse than
she is
Halle
the
Berry.
well I mean she
So.
has the body frame of Storm. Like she looks like there's pictures of her in dresses that I'm like, that is like the Storm goes shopping
Yeah,
issue,
the
like right
elegant
there.
queen-esque.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say Aura, Queen Aura type
Yeah,
deal.
there you go. She's aura farming Storm very well. And then
And
Chris
then
Abbott, who's playing Professor X, did
Xavier.
he was in Wolfman, Kraven the Hunter, Crowded Room, a couple other things.
Very diverse actor, like
Yeah.
very good. A
Samara
little
Weaving, though, playing Emma Frost, was the one that caught me off guard.
I can see her being Emma Frost very
I
well.
can
Like
too. And
she's
there's a here's the thing, like now we're starting to see all the pictures of her like reading comics, like reading Emma Frost comics, a lot like when Brie Larson was cast as Captain
yeah.
Marvel. And I'm just waiting for people to just shit on it because of that and be like, I'm just like, just shut up. Just shut up.
Yeah.
So,
Now,
but
if
she
you're a
girl was
big
in a
fan
lot
of
of horror
the
stuff.
yeah, she's a big like Ready or Not 1 and 2 awesome
Yeah,
movies.
she did Scream
I just
6
saw
a couple of
saw
times.
2 and it was awesome. I love her in those movies. And I think she'll pull off Emma Frost very well. So she's a little thin, but I think she just had a kid, so
Yeah.
because I think she was pregnant during like the second movie, wasn't it? So
Don't know. Indy Navarette, who is the rogue, she also was in Obsession too, which was like a pretty
yeah,
big
which yeah, that was the big
film.
thing that she was in that she got rave reviews for.
Yeah. And 13 Reasons Why, which was also a big show. So she definitely has done a lot more. I just think it's interesting because she's only 5 foot tall. So,
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how you're going to pull that one off because
yeah.
Rogue's fairly tall. So we'll have to
Well,
see what they do with
yes
the
and no,
angles
but
on that.
yeah.
Well, she's tall for a woman. Like I think she's around 6 foot, if I'm not mistaken. Like,
I would think she's like 5'8", like if I were doing that like in comparison, because like she with her heels on, she's usually as tall as Remy. So it might just be the hair, but
that could be it too. That's what kind of caught me off guard. I was like, how are they going to do her hair? But she'll probably just wear a wig and it'll be fine. But they all look like solid candidates across the board. I'm excited. I even like the logo they put out for X-Men. I love that. It's a little bit different. I'm cool with it.
like the like that red one that they put
No,
out.
the yellow
Oh,
one, the
the
spray.
X where it's like almost like two separate arrows that are disconnected. Yeah.
It looks very updated, like
Yeah.
per se. It very reminds me of Grant Morrison era X-Men. So we'll see how that goes. Maybe they'll take a page out of that. Who knows?
Right.
We don't know the premise yet. Again, we have like 2 years before this movie comes out, so we'll be waiting.
Year and a half, because it comes out in like May of 08 or 28. So they're probably going to start shooting like, I don't know, October? Like
So
they're going to
that'll
have to get everything done with any kind of special effects you're going to need to do. So,
So
but
it
should be
looks
fun.
good. We got to see a more trailer of the Avengers, which they really did like well with that. I was excited to see legit looking Sentinels, not the crappy ones from the the other X-Men movies. So I'm glad they're
Well,
getting.
that one of them, the second one or third one, we actually get to see like a legit Sentinel, but it's only for like 30 seconds in the danger room. So.
But it's every other Sentinel looked like some kind of weird
They were the future Sentinels, though. Right?
that's true. But even the future Sentinels don't look like that. And
Right.
it always kind of bothered me a little bit on the stylization of it. But again, Hollywood takes its liberties, you know, in
I just
general.
hope to see Master Mold. That's all.
Oh, I don't think you're going to see that. I don't think you'll see a Master Mold, but
Fuck.
We did see Doom beat the shit out of Thor, which, that's starting to become kind of a thing where poor Thor can't really beat the shit out of anybody. He always gets his ass kicked, it seems like. For the God of Thunder, he gets his ass kicked a lot.
Sounds like he's got some hammer issues.
Pop him some Valhalla Cielos, get that extra thunder going there. But no, it looks like Doomsday is going to be really good. So fingers crossed. Doom looks badass. I'm not gonna, lie on that. But I can't wait to see the premise. I can't wait to see what, like, how they integrate Battleworld into this movie.
Well, I don't think it's going to be this movie. I think it'll be Secret Wars.
But it's, I think we're gonna see bits and pieces. There's got to be bits and pieces because you're gonna
I think it's going to end on Battleworld. Like, I think this movie is going to end with him pulling everybody to Battleworld.
That's probably what we're seeing, honestly, when he pulls the Sentinels out of the Earth like that. That could possibly be part of the Battle World. We don't know. We didn't get enough info on that part. All I know is it looks really good. Like, for what we see, the special effects look good, look polished, which for a Marvel preview trailer has not been really good in a long time. So fingers crossed that the movie, like the finished product, looks good. So, but
Well,
yeah.
most importantly, what happened this week is this guy turned 5.
Ooh.
Happy birthday, Marshall. It was yesterday. Say I'm 5. I'm a good boy and I'm 5. Yeah, you just want to go back to sleep.
That's okay. I got
Also,
my lazy one's just sitting here laid out like crazy. It's, she's dead to the world right now.
well, also what happened this week, we got the first episode of Lanterns, and it was awesome.
I was going to say, I'll let you do this because I
It
know
was
you were the big
very,
lantern guy.
well,
So.
it was, so it's very True Detective V vibe. Like, it's Hal and John. They're hopping through time of things that happened in a specific space. They're not hopping through time, but time is, you're seeing it in one decade and then another decade. You're seeing the parallels. It's very detective-y, which I think is kind of cool because they're space cops. I just thought it looks really good right off the clip. Like, the first episode was very good. They got Hal and John's attitudes fairly well. They definitely got their dynamic correct. And I really am looking forward to the rest of the season. I think it's going to be awesome. And there's some, like, it starts off at the pretty fucked up scene. If you're really paying attention, it's pretty fucked up because you realize this thing that happened has been happening for years, not just this one time in the middle of the night. Go watch it, and then next week we'll do some spoilers of it, because we'll have 2 episodes, and I'll be able to give you a better understanding. But it is very good, in my opinion. So, as a Lantern fan, so
Okay.
all right, let's talk about some comics. All right. My first book is Redcoat, number 19. The
Surprise.
tiniest photo ever. I don't know
I was
why I
going to
put this.
say, geez, man.
Yeah, well, it's because they do that, the fold out, like the double fold, like the double size, and it doesn't always transfer right when I download it. So in this, you find that Simon's family left him because he told them, like, "Hey, I was a redcoat. I'm immortal. Blah blah blah. I want to make you guys immortal." And Albert Einstein shows up and is like, what the hell's going on? And we need to go find Benedict Cumberbatch, or not Cumberbatch, Benedict Arnold. Same thing. And then all of a sudden his family shows up and his wife's like, we're here for you. We're gonna do this. I don't really know what's going on, but we'll be here for you. So they go to look for Benedict because Benedict gives them so he gives them a clue. So he goes and he's going to look for him and he stops at like the flower person and she's like, oh, do you need roses today on your way home from work? And he's like, no, I'm not going to work, but I'll get them all when I come back. And then he goes and buys a gun from or he gets a gun out of the safe of the tailor guy that he worked for. Then they go to this house that he thinks that he should be in. It's not actually there. They're kind of confused, and all of a sudden they hear a bomb go off. So the tailor that he was at is now completely on fire and burning and blown up. The flower lady that was selling flowers is dead on the street, and all her flowers are everywhere. And he busts into the house, and his entire family has been killed by Benedict Arnold. And Benedict is there with the axe of George Washington, and he just says, "I'm sorry, Simon, but it's just who I am, you see." And that's how the book ends. And it was just so crazy and so powerful that I really, really enjoyed the hell out of it. Oh man. I'm trying to think of what song would be good with this. I'm gonna go with Anthrax, Keep It in the Family.
Nice.
Because yeah, so but it was a hell of a good book. This book has been consistently one of my top books to recommend to people.
I was gonna say you have the, you've been pushing the all the Geoff Johns image stuff for a
Yeah.
while, but Redcoat is by far probably your favorite.
Oh yeah, for sure. And
I
a
mean, you
lot of
like this and
people.
Hyde Street. It's like back
Yeah.
and forth, but Hyde Street's kind of not been as fun lately, and they haven't really been consistent with putting it out either. It's been a while since
Yeah.
Hyde Street.
I know he's been, well, he's working on Trillion Dollar Kid and a couple other things, so but this book has been consistently, I think, the best of the Ghost Machine stuff. And I really enjoy it, so.
Here we go. Here's one of my like favorites. Like Ray Fox is he's doing so well with the Phantom stuff. I'm really enjoying this new revitalization of the Phantom in comics right now. And his writing and Madcap have been putting out bangers with this. So this takes place after the was it the last little mini of the Phantom putting away Ezef Singh of the Singh Brotherhood. This is just, I think it's just a one shot. I don't think it's
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it said when I was getting the photo.
So it's basically the Phantom gets back to his lair. I think that it's his wife. I'm assuming it's his wife because it's not really established if she's just wife, girlfriend, caretaker of the cave, who knows? But he says he's like, ah, I'm exhausted because apparently he's been putting away members of the Sang Brotherhood that caused all the trouble to begin with all this drug trafficking and human trafficking stuff. And he's been putting him in jail, and he's like, it seems like all the Sang Brotherhood just wants to go to jail with as it as if. And his female counterpart is like, that could be what he's after. And Then we're flashed to the jail where Azeth and the Brotherhood members that are already in jail decide to take over the jail. They kill the one rival gang member that was kind of their competing faction. And they just take over the jail, take the guards and other prisoners as other prisoners that aren't aligned with the Sang Brotherhood as hostages. They have weapons, they smuggled in weapons, and they get on television and they basically demand the Phantom and come and face them. And then I guess they got a prisoner to dress up like a Phantom and they kill him straight on television. Well, the real Phantom's like, well, I better go take care of this. And they're like, be careful, it's a trap. He's like, oh, I know it's a trap. He's like, but I'm going in anyway. And he does what Phantom does, beats the living crap out of all the hostage takers. For anybody who's ever watched any movie in the last 30 to 35 years, when a jail is taken hostage by the prisoners, there's always that one guy that beats the living crap out of all of them and then confronts the leader. And it's basically what happens in this book. And he gets as if to basically surrender. And he's like, just kill me because the Sang Brotherhood is going to kill me for failing anyway. And he's like, oh, I'm not going to kill you. He's like, I'm just putting you right back in your cell. And then you have to deal with the consequences of embarrassing the Sang Brotherhood. Because the Phantom even says in the book, he's like, you do realize you embarrass your business partners. He's like, granted, it's an illegal business, but when you embarrass business and it make the business look bad, that's no bueno for you. Basically, he puts Azeth back in his cell. He frees the hostages, frees the guards. The other prisoners are like, well, are you going to take us on? Because what there's still all of us versus all of you. And he does the most badass moment. And he's like, go back to yourselves quietly. This was between me and the Sang Brotherhood. And like, and if you have any thoughts of challenging me, he's like, step up. And he almost does the whole finger thing, like Wolverine. Not quite, but pretty close to it. And then it basically ends him going back into the cave, playing with Devil. And that's the end of the book. It was a fun one shot, very typical of the Phantom. I can't say how much I love the character, and I love the what Mad Cave's doing with this. And because this is all about the prison, I chose Prison Song by System of a Down.
I guess we could have done Prison Sex by Tool, but either one.
Yeah, that came up too, but I'm like, I was like, let's go with SOD because I could see that him like
That's fair.
do that.
All right, so my next book is The Last Driver by Image. This is Sean Murphy and Silent Go. This book, while the cover is up and down, the actual book is sideways. So you read it
Oh, there we go.
sideways. So this is in a sort of alternate reality where basically like tech has really kind of taken over and the new like the new ruling class are basically like the tech bros, right? So this guy drives an old school hot rod muscle car, and on the car it says driving is my business and business is good. So it starts off with him being chased through the city, and like it's like a mix of like almost like Smokey and the Bandit meets like fucking Blade Runner. Because like the cities are built like Blade Runner stuff, the cops are all robots and like androids. So and then everybody else like lives in the desert and the wildlands. So he gets caught by the he gets caught right before he gets to go out of the city. And then it flashbacks to 4 hours before that, where he's driving his granddaughter around. And he like basically explaining to her like how cars used to be, like they weren't just GPS and put a button and it goes, like you had to actually read a map and put gas in it and all this stuff. And so he was a smuggler and she needs a new heart, so in order to help him, or to help him get the heart, one of his old smuggling pals like kind of gives him an opportunity to do that. So he takes out a couple of robot and android detective guys. And oh, by the way, his name is Clutch, which is hilarious. He takes his car and he's trying to do one last run for these guys so they can pay for the new heart and get the new heart for her. So off he goes in this like Stingray, I think. Oh no, it's a Corvette. Never mind. He's doing that, and like the granddaughter's in the car with him and is like, "What's this?" And he's like, "It's a radio." And she's like, "To download music?" And he goes, "Sort of. You couldn't pick the song, but you could pick the station." And then miles away, there was a guy playing state music in a tower for anyone who wants to listen. And said, "If you want to play music of your own, you need something called a cassette." And she's like, "That's so cool." I was like, "Oh my God. I've actually, I think, had that conversation with someone like in their 20s right now." So it kind of sets up the world, like the smuggling world understands that he's doing stuff, and the guy that set him up to do the run actually is betraying him, but we're gonna see how that works next time. This book is freaking cool because of the art alone. Sean Murphy is a master artist. I can't say enough about how awesome his art is. I've loved him on almost everything he's ever done.
His Batman series were so much fun.
Well, my favorite series he ever did was called Punk Rock Jesus, which is black and white. Although his Batman black and white was also hella good. White Knight was great. Chrononauts was great. There's a
He's
couple other
definitely
things
very
he did.
underrated, though. It like a lot of people kind of look him over.
I mean, I didn't read his Tokyo Ghoul, but he did a lot of that too. I don't think so. I think he just doesn't. I think he's very picky about what he puts out because he wants to make it good. So I don't think he's ever. I think he's very celebrated when he does do stuff. So, let me think. I think this is gonna get
I feel
ten
like
thousand ten or ten 10,000 horsepower by Godsmack. I think is what this is gonna get.
Oh, I thought you would have did the obvious one of Jesus Loves My Hot Rod.
Oh no. No,
That one would have
I almost went with Supercharged Heaven by White Zombie,
White
but
Zombie. That's a good one too. That one's not that one would have been pretty good with that. All right. Still on my what if kick. This is very vanilla, to be very, very honest. Like, this was not the most exciting what if. Basically, it's what if the Runaways train like didn't run away. They trained like with their parents, like their parents embraced them and trained them how to use their abilities. And that's basically the majority of it. It's their first mission for the Pride, was basically what was it, releasing some cybernetic villain out of jail. I forget the name of the villain because he's kind of inconsequential to the story in general. But after they release him, they realize that they done fucked up and they basically become good guys anyway. So it was just another way around of instead of them running away and being good guys, it was more they stayed, got trained, and now they're good guys because they realized they messed up. And that basically it. It was just the art was fine. It was just a very lame what if story. Like this is the it was an obvious choice, but they could have made this way more interesting, and they really didn't. There was very little effort into making this like a more fascinating tale. But my song for this one is Journey's Separate Ways, because the result was the same, just another way around it. So that's basically it.
Interesting. Well, I haven't read a Runaways book in a long time. And the show is very good too, so
Yeah,
makes me
I think
interested.
they've kind of dropped the ball a little bit on.
I can see that. All right, my next book is Hornsby and Halo number 15. So this is continuing the Unbelievables kind of story and idea. It starts out where there's like a pool of like a ocean or lake. It's a lake, Ackerman Lake. These like slugs crawl out. And you see that the pets of Halo and Hornsby actually can speak, and they're like, oh no, like these things are coming, like we need not freak out, we need to let the guys know. And they don't quite let the kids know because they're already off to school. But while they're at school, they realize that people are getting extremely aggressive for like no reason, including them. Like they're getting hyper aggressive, like Hornsby, like her fist gets like flaming red, like it like almost ignites on fire. And then Halo's hand gets like turns like his angel blue, and he's almost ready to punch someone. So while that's happening, there's this band called the Deadtones, and they're basically made up of monsters. So they're traveling, and the Medusa and the Frankenstein are talking about stuff because she's the only one. He's the only person that she can look at without turning to stone, because his eye, like he's made up of dead parts. So he's like, I'm dead. Like he's like, my eyes are dead, and blah blah blah. And she's like, yeah, but one's a beautiful sky blue, and the other one's a beautiful emerald green, and that's what I love about you. So it was a very interesting kind of touching moment there. But then you find there's like a gang that thinks they're trying to steal stuff. So the Frankenstein guy goes out, and they totally shoot him. And they're like, "Come on, you guys in the bus. What do you like? We want your shit." Blah blah blah. So they break out of the bus and they attack them. And like one is like a giant, like almost like Groot style monster. One is like a vampire with wings. One's like a lizard guy, and the other one is like a tempest style like water manipulator. And they have this giant fight, which is great. And it's well done, it's drawn well. All the scenes are awesome. There's big explosions, stuff like that. And then they kind of like head to the next town that they're playing. Meanwhile, Halo and Hornsby both have really bad dreams where they start turning, like they basically are like their inner selves are basically like you need to go and start, wreaking vengeance upon all these people and judging all of them. And they're just like, what the hell? So they go to the bunker that the $1 trillion kid gave them, and they basically pinky swear to not punish anyone and not to judge anyone. And then that's kind of where it ends. And then the next issue, or they're like, we should look into these unbelievables. And then the Deadtones are actually going to be playing in their town the next week. So the next week we're actually going to see them get together. Also, side note, in the back of these books this month is the comic shop Spotlight, and John and Carol's from our buddies in Cleveland are actually focused on it, which I thought was really cool. So this one, I'm going to use Monster Mash because, but very specifically the Misfits version, because it's even
Nice.
more monstery. But this book was a lot of fun. Like I said, the writing is great, the art is great. It's just a lot of fun to be with. And yeah, like you said, the Ghost Machine stuff I really enjoy, and this is me pushing another one. So.
All right, we got Avengers Armageddon number 3. I'm gonna dip in a little bit to number 2 because it's a lot of like I haven't done any of the Avengers Armageddon stuff. But it all has to do with the backlash of the Doom, all the stuff that happens after Doom passes away and everything. So this is like the aftermath, so to speak. Into Hulk and a bunch of Blue Hulks, which I guess I should have read number 1 too, because I was like a little confused about these Blue Hulks, but I assume that was something experimental. The Avengers end up beating Red Hulk and these Blue Hulks with the help of Dave Colton, who, if you guys remember who he is, he was the other Captain America that Wolverine helped in the Weapons of Armageddon mini. He's kind of like a bit of a Superman type, where he can fly, he has super strength, and he is very, very lethal. Like he wanted to kill Red Hulk right off the bat. The Avengers do stop him from doing that. And then he's like, well, you're all soft, you know. Basically, they want to, the Dave wants to get rid of all nukes. So he tries to, like, he steals a bunch of nukes and throws them into the sun. Now the number 3 is like the aftermath of all this going on. Basically, the Avengers are getting blamed because Dave was technically part, he was helping the Avengers, but then he turned around and went rogue, basically, because you know they people don't want the heroes to police them. And none of them want that. It's throughout the whole book of Iron Man says it, Carol Danvers says it, even Wolverine is not down with this. And there is, what is it? Logan tries to calm Colton down. He brings the Winter Soldier with him. And they're in the cabin where he lived previously in the Weapons of Armageddon series. And Logan's trying to talk him down. He's like, look, I get what you're doing. And he's like, ultimately, that's all what we all want is to get rid of nuclear, you know, weapons. It's like, it would put everybody at ease. He's like, but he's like, we live in a real world. He's like, just because Americans don't want the nukes, or if America gets rid of nukes, then he's like, what stops from every other country doing this? And everything in the background is Russia kind of dipping their hand into this. They actually save Red Hulk And they embrace him, making him an ally, promising him like to help him stabilize his Hulk transformation because his Hulk transformation's getting all wonky on him. But Colton basically is like, I understand what you're saying. He's like, but ultimately he's like, I'm gonna do this. He's like, just stay out of my way. And he's like, you can tell the Avengers the same thing. Well, Wolverine doesn't like that response. So he goes to try to stop Colton. Here steps in Winter Soldier, and he, of course, betrays Wolverine. And Wolverine gets the crap kicked out of him, as you can see on the front cover here. And then Colton drops Logan just down into Avengers headquarters, literally. He just drops him right in with a huge, just see this big hole of Wolverine and his heavy ass body just crashing down. And then while this is all going on, Black Panther and Nick Fury have a little bit of a meeting. I'm going, what was this assassination attempt? Because apparently there are armaments now that can hurt Hulks, which is really interesting that Nick Fury came up with. And Black Panther's question is, well, who do you want dead now? And we never really get the answer on that because the next thing you know, the Avengers are trying to stop Colton. And as this fight is going on, and as Black Panther and Nick continue to talk, Russia decides to fire off his nukes. And you see a bunch of nukes from Russia heading towards the US. And that is the end of issue three. So a lot going on in these first three issues for sure. But this one I think was very appropriate. Peace sells, but who's buying by Megadeth? And I
Nice.
feel like that's very appropriate.
Cool. All right. Well, that's pretty much all we got. We have a
Yeah.
very busy couple days coming up. So, yeah, like I said, come visit us at the shows.
Yeah.
Also, we're doing another 40 hours of 40-cent comics at the warehouse on I want to make sure I mention that on Labor Day weekend. That'll be 4 to midnight, 4 p.m. to midnight on Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday are both 8 a.m. to midnight. It's gonna be a lot of fun. So make sure you guys check it out, and we will see you around. Make sure you support your local comic shop. If it's us, cool. If not, also cool. And like I said, we'll see you guys around. Thanks.
Yep.